What is up, guys? Welcome to Diggity, a video game podcast, episode number 155. I'm Jeff James, as always with me, the incredible and obtainable, luscious Brody Fault. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We got some games coming out tomorrow. Everybody's on quarantine. Nothing but time to play those games. It's kind of fantastic in a weird, twisted sort of way.
Yeah, and tons of news. We've got
tons of news.
Some awesome games are being released.
What a terrible week for us to go to one podcast.
Hey now. It's a great week for us to go to one podcast.
There's a lot of content to get through here.
But hey, tune in. Say, sit tight and get your best quarantine jammies on. And let's get it going here. But before we get it going, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. At Diggity Podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can find our podcast, tell your friends on any podcast platform that awesome podcasts are on. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to awesome podcasts. And speaking of podcasts, we have an awesome, yet what we think also confusing name, but it doesn't really matter in the podcast world because things are named really dumb, like H3H3 Podcast. Some would say naming something weird would be a good thing in podcasting. We don't know yet.
Stand out. Or nobody will ever know you exist. One of the two.
That's right. Number one for us, baby. We announced last episode and the episode before that we were creating a podcast that was just totally us shooting it on a weekly basis. This podcast would release every Monday, the audio version. For now, be audio, and then after a couple of shows, we'll probably get it going on YouTube and stream live on YouTube while we're also recording, because why not? But that'll be on, you know, Sunday evenings when we do that. But this new podcast is going to be called Soup Sandwich. To them, you may, what the hell is a soup sandwich? We just one day said soup sandwich, and we said, hey, that's completely random. That makes no sense. Sometimes we make no sense and we're completely random when we're having our dumb discussions with ourselves or with our friends, and kind of rolls up the tongue, and it's just great. So it's just quirky. It's just weird. And that's what we're going to go with. So
really sets the tone for what the podcast is going to be. Just
not
out of left field. You know what? All sorts of stuff.
You know what?
What?
Soup is applicable right now. People are buying it up.
That's true.
People are buying it up like crazy. And deli meats. People are making soup and sandwich. But no, you can check that audio podcast out. It'll be up this upcoming Monday. That is, what date is that? Oh my God. The dates are
that
March 23rd.
The 23rd.
March 23rd. You can check that podcast out by searching up Soup Sandwich on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that kind of stuff. And the first episode will go live on Monday. It will be live for Monday morning. So we thought originally that it would be good for your commute. However, the world's ending. No one will own cars. Soon we will all work from home in our pajamas and eat nothing but soup. And when you do that, you can listen to our new podcast. So what can you expect from this podcast? This podcast is probably going to be pretty crude. just putting it out there. It's going to be pretty crude. Some stuff that we're going to do on it. We're just kind of talking about everything. We talk about anything in the news, give our two cents on something. Probably we'll go deep into some stuff at some point in time, maybe share some stuff like that. So there'll be some good learning moments as well. We aim to have some of our friends on it as well. Now, what better time to have it on when everyone's quarantined? We'll have our friends on regularly to just shoot the shit with us, and they're not necessarily experts or anything. We just, the conversations we have are ridiculous with our friends. We figure we'd like to share that with the world, because why not? It could do no harm, right? Look for that, guys, on Monday. We look forward to doing that. We've had a blast coming up with the ideas so far, and also kind of found this by doing some of our early Patreon stuff. And we're like, hey, like, we just kind of have fun doing this. Like, let's record it.
Side note, this does mean that our Patreon, kind of the formula for those episodes, is going to change. Those are going to be a little bit more focused going forward, I believe.
Yes.
just so we're not, you know, having similar content as what we have available now. The Patreon will still be special episodes that you can't get anywhere else type of thing. So just wanted to clarify that, because the first, what, few of our Patreon episodes were
I was just kind of shooting the shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It was essentially what Soup Sandwich is going to be. So this is now. So that's going to change because we want to still keep Patreon special for your lovely patrons.
Right.
But moving on from that, what have you been playing, Jeff?
Ooh. So I have been playing a couple different sports games. So, we ordered Doom, and I'm downloading that right now. I've played, so I got sidetracked because I'm excited for Doom. I've played Madden 20, and I actually downloaded NBA 2K20. I'm going to check it out and see what I think about it. And go through that stuff, but I've done that. I played a little bit more mobile games. Plague Inc., baby, you know it. Also, I was able to pick up a little bit of Ni No Kuni for like, God, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes. But it's been a hectic week. But I'm excited because I think the next couple of weeks are going to mellow out in the evening for me a little bit more. And my goal is to really work through some games while I have this opportunity. After a day of work at home, after a day of work, normally, you know, I'm commuting to work and back. Well, you know, I can put my time in the morning doing some stuff. And I can also put some time in right after, you know, 5 o'clock when I usually leave work and have to commute, I can start, you know, playing some games and playing some more games at night. And, you know, everyone kind of has, there's not much to do. You know what I mean? Like the odds and ends of family and friend stuff coming up are like, hey, we're going to Olive Garden. Hey, can't. Not a thing.
Yeah. Not a thing right now.
Yeah, so that is what I am playing. But what are you digging into currently?
Well, I've been playing quite a bit of Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I am getting closer to the end, but not quite where I want to be quite yet. There was a couple nights after the wife went to bed, I sat there and played the game for like 2 or 3 hours at a time, and just keep chipping away at it. And then over the weekend, I believe I played a little bit of Modern Warfare, nothing crazy. But like I said, I've been focusing on Tokyo Mirage Sessions because I'm trying to knock that out. I was really hoping I could get it done before Animal Crossing came out, because I ended up picking up Animal Crossing. So I'm downloading that currently. Actually, it might be done now. It's not too huge of a file. And then I got to download Doom tonight. We got some serious gaming to do tomorrow. And I am excited.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Diggity Deals, and then we'll get to the game releases, and then we'll get into the whole free game stuff, and then we'll get into the actual news.
The weekly stuff.
Let's roll through this quick.
Our housekeeping of sorts. But Diggity Deals, Xbox One. You can get an Xbox One X for $199.99 from the Microsoft Store. For Nintendo Switch, you can get When Ski Lifts Go Wrong for $1.49 on the US eShop. It's actually a really good game. I've enjoyed my time with it. PlayStation 4, you can get Assassin's Creed Odyssey for $13.79 on the PlayStation Store. And on PC, you can get Katana Zero for $10.04 on Steam. Also, sweet, one of my favorite indie games from last year.
That's great. Xbox One X for $199. That's great.
That's a fantastic deal.
I don't
know
who's looking to spend money right now, but hey,
this is true.
You know,
and we're also like 6-7 months away from a new console coming out.
This is true.
Yeah. 7-8 months, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, upcoming game releases. So March 20th. Hey, what's up, girl? That's today. Animal Crossing New Horizons comes to the Switch. Doom Eternal comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Stadia. So you Stadia peeps get some new stuff. Doom 64 comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Looking at you, my guys, at Night Dive. March 23rd, Half-Life Alyx comes to PC VR. March 24th, you're going to get Bleeding Edge on PC and Xbox One. Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Deep State DLC, comes to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Ghost Recon Breakpoint the Ghost Experience expansion. Comes to PS4, PC, and Xbox One. Moons of Madness comes to PS4 and Xbox One. Wartile comes to PS4 and Xbox One as well. On March 25th, you're going to get Two Point Hospital Off the Grid DLC. That's coming to PC. March 26th, you're getting Assemble with Care coming to PC. Biped coming to PC. Borderlands 3 Guns, Love, and Tentacles. The Marriage of Wainwright and Hammerlock DLC coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. I swear to God, I almost said Borderlands 3 Guns, Love, and Testicles. Control the Foundation DLC.
You would have technically been correct as well.
Comes to PC and PS4. Grand Guilds comes to PC and Switch. Woo! March 27th, you're going to get Grand Blue Fantasy Versus coming to PS4. Lost Words, Beyond the Page comes to Stadia. So another hot piece of new stuff coming into Stadia. One Piece Pirate Warriors 4 coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. And Saints Row 4 Reelected comes to the Switch also on March 27th. So starting to get a lot of releases. Game companies working remote. We'll see if it's going to delay anything over the next couple of weeks as we read into the news over the next couple episodes of Diggity. And or if they're going to start moving some stuff up to release more because people are going to be at home and like they've got them now.
Like, on the note of the remote or working remote and all that and delays, there was a message from Square Enix about the Final Fantasy VII remake that it will still be released on, what was that, April 10th, I believe. And, okay. But they did say that it might be hard to find physically. So they're only going to have so many copies ready to go, sure. But at least it will still be releasing. And I imagine a lot of people are going to buy it digitally anyway, but I just thought I'd throw that in there since you brought it up. Cool. So our next little topic here, the Epic Game Store free games of the week. So this week you can get Watch Dogs and the Stanley Parable. So that's nice. Those are cool.
Cool. A little tidbit too. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is having free play days. So you can play it for free from March 19th through the 22nd on Xbox One, PS4, and PC through Ubisoft's Uplay platform. So
fantastic. Enjoy that. And it's on a pretty deep sale pretty much everywhere. So
yeah,
no, try absolutely. It out. If you absolutely. Like it, buy it, maybe. Mm-hmm. So the Resident Evil 3 Remastered demo is available now on PS4, Xbox One, and Steam. And also a open beta for the multiplayer Resident Evil Resistance will begin on March 27th.
Nice. Trials of Mana got a demo on March 18th on PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and PC.
This is a remaster of a game from like 94 or 95 that released only in Japan. It looks really cool. I just actually downloaded the demo and I'm pretty excited to give it a go because it is right up my alley.
Yeah, give it a go. It's great.
Looking forward to it. So Overwatch is adding a new character. So Echo, the character that has been talked about for what seems like forever, is finally available on the PTR. So Echo is an evolutionary robot programmed with a rapidly adapting artificial intelligence, versatile enough to fill multiple battlefield combat roles. She will be a damage character that has a 2 out of 3 star difficulty rating. So the abilities for this new character are Tri-Shot, which Echo fires 3 shots at once in a triangle pattern. Sticky Bombs, Echo fires a volley of sticky bombs that detonate after a delay. Flight, Echo surges forward quickly and then can fly freely. Focusing Beam, Echo channels a beam for a few seconds, dealing a very high damage to targets with less than half health. Glide, Echo can glide while falling. And Duplicate, Echo duplicates a targeted enemy hero and gains use of their abilities. So pretty cool. This character has been floating around the franchise for a really long time now. I think it was in some of the first promotional material we saw from Overwatch to begin with. And then it's kind of it's a robot. So I'm not sure, but I would assume. I don't know. Seems
female, but whatever.
But she has really just kind of been talked about for a long time, and they kind of teased it, and then when they announced Overwatch 2, and then we didn't hear anything for months. So this is cool. I think a lot of these abilities sound really cool. The duplicate, ability is really awesome. Just turn into McCree essentially, or whoever, you know. I think there's a lot of really cool things here, and I'm excited to see how she plays. But I don't play on PC, so I don't have access to the PTR, so I will have to wait until she comes to Xbox.
I am not a big fan of her design.
But we've kind of known what she's looked like for a while now, I guess.
And
but
I'm waiting for Sojourn to come out.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah, I mean, you know.
I also haven't played Overwatch for probably 6 months now.
I haven't really, I mean, I guess I've turned it on here and there, but I guess I haven't really like deep dived or like actively tried to like, you know, build my score up and competitive probably for, I'd say, the better part of 4 months.
Yeah. I've been hooked on Modern Warfare still.
Just falling off the cliff from Overwatch. I mean, just, and she's not the style of character, like in her design and stuff, that I'm like, man, I gotta play that.
Some of her abilities, like the glide and the flight, like, kind of reminds me of Mercy in a way. So to me, I'm kind of like, that's kind of familiar.
Looks way out there comparative to, like, everyone has been somewhat humanoid at this point. And she just looks way, I mean, I get that she's kind of got like a humanish kind of body, but she's on that. I think she like rides the line of like where she kind of fits into like the style of the rest of the characters. I'm like,
it does seem a little different. I mean, a lot of the characters are a little bit more, not really gloomy, but a little darker, a little bit more, I don't know, realistic. And this looks like straight up iRobot type stuff.
It's like way out there stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like any Overwatch character, she can be OP for the first like week. So, we'll play her.
It is impossible to play because everybody is going to want to play as her. So, there's too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Hey, there's some Game Pass movement and Game Pass Ultimate perks. So, for console, coming soon, March 19th. So, hey, that's what, tomorrow?
Today. Well, today on YouTube, but YouTube. Yesterday, if you're listening to the audio.
So March 19th, you had Kona, Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown, and The Surge 2 come. March 24th, you're going to get Bleeding Edge. March 26th, you're going to get Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, that Power Rangers game. Watch out.
I don't... It's personally not a game for me. It's essentially just a Power Rangers fighting game, but I've heard pretty decent things about it, surprisingly enough.
The Castle Crashers.
Yeah.
But not nice.
No, it's just a pretty standard, I mean, almost like a Mortal Kombat-esque, like just side-by-side fighting game. I mean, it's nothing
crazy. Oh, maybe
I'm thinking
of something totally else.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of something else.
Oh my God. This isn't where the Power Rangers are like cartoony and short.
I don't think so.
Okay. Can we go to Uncle Google for that?
I will go to Uncle Google for that.
Thank you. Leaving soon. So games leaving Game Pass in. You can have Borderlands. The Handsome Collection is leaving soon. We don't have dates for these. They won't give dates. So I apologize. You just kind of have to go in there, play, and maybe one day it'll leave.
It's just a fighting game. It's not the.
Okay. All right. So hit that up. That sounds cool then. City Skylines, Lego Worlds, Operencia, The Stolen Sun, Vampire, and The Golf Club 2. Boy, let me tell you about The Golf Club 2 before I get on to PC. Game's coming soon. Damn it.
As brutal as it sounded while you were playing it, you played it for multiple nights in a row.
Yeah, I invested
you were a
time
glutton
into
for
it.
Punishment.
I invested time into it. So others didn't have to. So let's break down Golf Club 2 here for a second, okay? So first off, if you've played like Tiger Woods PGA Tour, like the EA games and stuff like that, this isn't it. This isn't even it, okay, at all. If you've played golf in real life, this isn't it either, okay? Because it's not even fucking close to being realistic. So there are some things I like about it, all right? I like that the swinging seems to be better than the EA games, which is cool. That's nice. That's about it. The graphics are not that great. The UI is horrendous. The putting is terrible. You will flick it just a bit, and it is like the man has fucking swung it like a bat flying around him, the speed that he hits the ball. Yet then your next putt, you'll go and pull the trigger back even farther. You go to swing and he swings it like he's a fucking pansy. Okay. And then, basically I just got sick and tired. I'd have no problem getting on the green. When I got to the putting, either the putt was going like a fucking like inch or it was going 30 fucking feet. I couldn't stand it. I tried it multiple nights. I put some hours into it.
Yeah.
Hours. Yeah.
You played for a while.
And why? To get achievements. While these guys played Modern Warfare, I played the Golf Club 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye
but
bye.
Then Warzone came out and yeah, you're playing some Warzone. So
yeah, that's a lot better than
Golf Club. We broke you away from the Golf Club 2.
Anyways, moving on. PC coming soon to PC for Game Pass. Astro Logaster.
What a name.
Yeah, that's a roll off the tongue. Bleeding Edge, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, and the Surge 2 is coming. That's why I should have looked at how it's coming soon, the Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. I'm such a dummy. Oh my gosh. Leaving soon for PC Game Pass, Battle Chef Brigade, City Skylines, Kingsway, Operencia, The Stolen Sun, Orwell, Keeping an Eye on You, Vampyr as well. This weeks or months, Game Pass Ultimate Perks, correct? Yes.
Yeah, this is a new thing that they're doing now.
Yeah. So the regular free benefits for being an Ultimate member, perks available now are Phantasy Star Online 2. So you're going to get special content bundle that includes unique emotes, in-game cosmetics, a gold ticket mission pass, and in-game currency. For World of Tanks Mercenaries users, you're going to get to start the game with three powerful tanks and more. For Sea of Thieves, you're going to get an Ori-inspired Ancestral Sails figurehead, hull, and flag. That's really cool. I like that a lot. Games and games, that's pretty cool. And if you play Smite, hey, you can get a bundle that unlocks five gods, special character skins, and voice packs. So great. Great if you're an Ultimate user.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what else they come up with. I mean, a lot of these are games that have kind of been... not really around for a while, but I mean, Phantasy Star Online is really the only new one, but it's neat that they're adding something special just for being a Game Pass Ultimate member, which is already a fantastic deal. So, yes, some cool stuff here. As far as the games coming and games going, I do want to try out Ace Combat 7. That is one I've kind of looked forward to. other than that, I'm not super stoked about anything coming. Things no, leaving.
I'm cool anything that I leaving.
Yeah, all the games leaving. The Borderlands, I already own it, and Lego Worlds, I already own it. So everything else is kind of meh.
Is it weird that we're like the only people that don't really care about Ace Combat coming?
I do want to.
Like everyone else has a half chub for it right now. We're just kind of like, eh.
Yeah. When it was first announced, I was actually kind of excited about it. I knew it wouldn't be anything I'd pick up, but it was kind of something I was interested in a weird
anything
sort of way.
That would be in the cinematic in terms of the action.
Yeah, it's
like and as the pilot and everything. It's like, oh,
yeah, right. Yeah. It does seem a little interesting, I guess, but I'll still probably check it out just for shits and giggles, if nothing else. But yeah, the Surge 2, I never even played the Surge 1, and I've heard pretty mediocre things about both of them. I heard the Surge 2 is quite a bit better, but still kind of meh. So next up, Nintendo Indie World. So we got basically Nintendo Indie Direct that happened on March 17th, so a couple days ago here. So the first game that they showed off was Blue Fire, which is a 3D platformer. It has a really, really cool art style that I am actually looking forward to this game. This game looks pretty neat, and it will be coming to Switch first this summer as a timed exclusive. The next game is Baldo. Isometric Zelda-esque RPG type game. It has an art style similar to that of like Studio Ghibli, and this will be coming to the Switch first this summer, again as a timed exclusive. The next game up is I Am Dead. You use ghostly powers to solve mysteries in a what appears to be kind of a point-and-click adventure type. It gave me some like vibes of Disco Elysium in a weird sort of way. It was kind of a similar setting type of thing, yeah, but not completely. It had a weird art style. I was not overly fond of the art style for this game, personally. But this will be available later this year as a timed exclusive for the Switch. The next one is Bark, a side-scrolling shooter aimed towards family play, which was something they specifically called out, was they want you to be able to sit down and play this with your family. So this will be available later this year, again, as a timed exclusive for the Switch. Next one up is Cyanide and Happiness, Freakopocalypse. So this is an RPG adventure about the end of the world, obviously set in the Cyanide and Happiness setting. Probably could have picked a better time for this to happen.
Did they know?
So anyway, this will be out this summer. Summer in Mara, which is a Stardew Valley Animal Crossing style game, but it looks like it is going to be a little bit more focused on adventure rather than farming. It does look really cool. This is coming to the Switch in spring, and it will give you exclusive clothes and backpack if you play it on the Switch in that little launch window there. And then it will obviously be coming elsewhere as later on, but Switch first. Cool. Quantum League is a online first-person shooter. So this is an interesting take on a first-person shooter. Each round, clones will join and mimic your movement from previous rounds. So it's kind of strategic to where you go maybe a certain path and then maybe you lose the first round, but it'll set you up to potentially win the second round type of thing.
I really liked it a lot. I thought it was very neat to use. I mean, that old school ghost, I guess, kind of, mechanic.
Yeah.
But now I thought you actually get to interact with that ghost. That's really cool.
And oddly enough, it gave me vibes of like Brink. I don't know if you ever played Brink.
It had some
Brink vibes to it in a way. But this will be available late this year sometime. The next one is The Good Life. This is a RPG that will have you solve mysteries as a cat, a dog, and a human. It looks like you can change forms. I don't entirely know a whole lot about this game, but I believe this is one that was a Kickstarter and has changed quite a bit. I really, really did not like the art style on this personally, again, but that's just me. Maybe you love it, but it did show you riding a sheep, which is something, I guess.
Awesome.
This will be coming sometime in 2020. The Last Campfire. This is a game that was shown off quite some time ago during, I believe, a Nintendo Direct, or maybe it was the Game Awards from not last year, but the year before. I don't remember exactly. I think it was Game Awards, though. But I remember you really liked it. So this is from Hello Games, the company behind No Man's Sky. So this is a adventure dungeon crawler about compassion, empathy, and finding hope. And this will be available this summer. Pixel Junk Eden 2 is a platformer that generates levels based on the choices you make as you play and the paths that you take as well. And so this will be coming this summer. Faria is a card game. It had some interesting things like being able to change the landscape on which you can lay cards and stuff like that. This features 4 free cosmetic packs available for a limited time at launch. And surprisingly enough, for a card game, you can actually earn all the cards that you want just by playing the game through various different modes and co-op online play and things like that. And this will be available this spring. Eldest Souls is a boss rush battler, and this will be coming in summer of 2020. And then we had a nice little quick montage of upcoming indie games. So they showed off Blair Witch, which we've talked about a couple different times now. It's a creepy adventure game coming this summer. Ghost of a Tale, an adventure stealth game of some sort. Again, spring 2020. We get like maybe 10, 15 minute previews of these. So there's not a whole lot of info to go off. Sky is an adventure game about people who can fly, coming in the summer of 2020. Sky Racket is a side scrolling shooter, which is actually available right meow. Super Liminal is a physics puzzle game, which actually looked pretty neat. This will be coming summer 2020. Wingspan, essentially bird watching the game.
Let's go, baby.
Coming spring 2020. Dicey Dungeons kind of look like a D&D type adventure game.
Awesome.
This looked pretty neat. Coming in 2020. Bounty Battle is a side scrolling beat 'em up, coming summer 2020. And Moving Out, which is Overcooked but with moving. I'm stoked for this. This looks awesome. April 28th. I love Overcooked and all of those couch co-op games that are chaotic and make you borderline want to get a divorce.
Yeah,
they're great. And then finally, the last thing they showed off was Exit the Gungeon, which is obviously a sequel to Enter the Gungeon. And this has actually been available on Apple Arcade for a while now. I have it downloaded on my iPad and I have not touched it at all. But looks pretty neat. And I know a lot of people love Enter the Gungeon, so I bet you would love Exit the Gungeon as well. And this is out right now as well.
Sweet. Fantastic.
Good stuff. Anything stand out to you in this list?
Last Campfire, I'm just really excited for. Honestly, the bird watching thing is kind of weird.
Really weird.
And the Enter the Gungeon stuff. I mean, I'm down to try it. I never played Enter the Gungeon, but I'll take a look at
the roguelite dungeon. And I can't do roguelites. They make me mad.
So, but I'll probably just play on Apple Arcade because I have a free month.
Yeah. I used my free month and barely played anything on it. And then proceeded to buy another month just because I was subscribed. It's like, man, I missed it.
when you play on your iPad though, like some of these games, are you using your Xbox controller or your PlayStation controller?
I have not played much. The only one I've played is What the Golf.
Did you use your controller hooked up to that or no?
No, I did not. I don't know if you can. Yeah, I think that one is for What the Golf. I don't think it supports controller because the way it's set up, it works really well. It might, I know, because it's on the Switch and stuff like that, but it works really well with touch controls. And there's some things where you have to use like a gyro control type of thing.
Oh, to move the ball and stuff.
Where you actually have to like hold it up and change your field of view by moving the iPad around, which is super annoying when you're sitting on the couch and all comfy and have to get up in order to do a certain level. But out of this list, I was really excited about Moving Out, The Last Campfire, Quantum League, which was that first person shooter, and also Blue Fire. I was actually pretty stoked about that. It looked like there's some pretty cool traversal things in there. And overall, I thought it was meh and a pretty meh Nintendo Indie World, but
I mean, we kind of expected it a bit, right?
Yeah, and there's rumor that we might be getting a proper Nintendo Direct next week. I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but
Metroid.
We'll see. I mean, after Animal Crossing comes out tomorrow or today, if you're listening to the audio,
podcast, no more Animal Crossing Directs.
We have pretty much nothing first party coming from Nintendo for the rest of the year. So I'm hoping we get something here soon because we're going to need something to pad out the rest of the year. I understand Animal Crossing will probably consume a large amount of people, but good God, we need something else.
It's going to be interesting to see how many people just get the digital download rather than the physical, just granted everything going on.
Yeah, I just got the digital, but it's also a pretty decent game to have as a digital because you can pop in, do a few things, and pop out type of thing.
That's fair enough.
That way you don't have to have the card with you all the time. So I just went digital on that one.
Before we jump into the meat, I have a quick question, and this didn't hit me until today when I saw a photo of it. Do we think GameStop will die because of everything going on right now? Malls have closed.
Well, there is. They put out a release of some sort that essentially say, they said that they will not be closing their doors because they are considered essential retail. And the way they justify this is because they sell cell phones and tablets. So they can consider themselves essential retail. Basically, they can't afford to shut down.
Galaxy Tab 3 in that glass case is saving their ass right now.
Yeah, but it also costs money for them to stay open. So it's kind of a double-edged sword here. But at the same time,
to close some.
I would think, you know, some of them, like ones in malls, I would think those would close. Maybe some of the standalone stores might be okay.
All the malls, like Simon Property Groups is a massive mall owner. They've shut down every single one of their malls.
Yeah. They have to stay operating because they cannot afford to shut down because they are riding such this thin line. Actually, they're not even riding a thin line. They are in the red, and they have been in the red for like years now. I don't know. This is certainly not going to help them by any means.
No, this is so dude.
It's bad news for GameStop.
Done.
Mm-hmm. Reggie just joined the board, which we didn't cover last week because it wasn't a huge topic, but he's going to save them, man. And the old Reggie's CEO of PetSmart, he's got it as well.
Dogs are just like video games, really, when you think about
it. You sit down, you play with them. I mean, it's the same thing, pretty much. You feed them, shove shit in the drive, it's fine.
Yeah. The only difference is dogs poop. Games don't poop, Reggie. Oh my god, corporate America.
Tamagotchi poop.
That's true. Yeah, hey, fair enough.
On the correlation,
fair enough. Okay, cool. So let's jump back to the meat of stuff. So obviously PS5 had what was arguably one of the most nerdy and dry presentations in my life. It was nuts. But we're going to run through the specs of the Xbox Series X and the PS5 comparisons. It's going to get a little nerdy, as I just complained about the nerdiness, but I'll try to explain some stuff as we go along for those not nerdy as well. And
so before we jump into a deep conversation about this, there's some more tidbits that I'm going to add at the end, and then we'll dive into the full conversation about these two consoles. So
for sure. Okay. So cool. Let's do the technical comparison. So let's start with the CPU. So the CPU in the PlayStation 5 was announced 8 Zen 2 cores and be at 3.5 gigahertz and have a variable frequency. So they'll be able to adjust as they're going along. Now, the CPU in the Xbox Series X will be 8 cores at 3.8 gigahertz and 3.6 gigahertz with SMT. And that will be also a custom Zen 2 CPU. But I believe their Zen 2 is a little bit different than the PS4s or PS5, in its architecture. So the GPU in the PS5 will be 10.28 teraflops, 36 CUs at 2.23 gigahertz, and it will also be variable frequency. And the GPU in the Xbox Series X will be 12 teraflops with 52 CUs, but only at 1.825 gigahertz with a custom RDNA 2 GPU. If I didn't speak English there, the Xbox Series X GPU is better than the PS5s, but we will get into stuff moving on as well that kind of balances these things out a little bit more, depending upon use case. So the memory inside the PS5 is 16 gig GDDR6 memory with 256 bit. And the memory inside of the Xbox Series X is 16 gig GDDR6 with 320B bus. So memory inside the Xbox Series X, by my standards, a little bit better than the memory inside the PS5.
Yeah, probably not super noticeable, but
no,
a little bit better.
Great for instantaneous action and loading. So the memory bandwidth inside the PS5 is going to be 448 gigabits a second. Now, this is really important. The memory bandwidth inside the Xbox Series X is 10 gigabytes at 560 gigabytes a second at 6 gigabytes at 336 gigabytes a second. This is really dumb the way that this all breaks down, but essentially the way that the PS5 loads data is a lot smarter, in my own opinion, than how the Xbox Series X loads data. But the thing is, the Xbox Series X relies more on the hardware aspect of how it is downloading and previewing that data, versus PS5 is a combination of both hardware and software and their architecture in the way that they've allowed the PS5 to view data. So it'll be interesting down the road when games get a lot more technical. But for data speeds, memory bandwidth, I would say PS5 seems to adjust it a little bit better, but you know, whatever, we'll get into that later. Internal storage. So you're going to get a custom 825 gigabit SSD inside of the PS5. All right. Whatever, you know, cool, great. That's a lot of room, people are going to say, and then you're going to download your first game and it's going to be, you know, 125 gigs.
Be 20% of that.
Yeah. So then the internal storage on the Xbox Series X is going to be a 1 terabyte custom NVMe SSD. So a little bit bigger space, but you know, great, cool, whatever. The PS5 is going to have IO throughput. So 5.5 gigabits a second raw, typical 8 to 9 gigabits a second compressed. So that's great for video. The IO throughput on Xbox Series X, weaker, 2.4 gigabits a second raw and 4.8 gigabits a second compressed with custom hardware decompression block. So it's going to, on this issue, their hardware is going to try to do what the PS5 does by messing around with a couple things on the Xbox Series X between a combination of hardware and software. And the PS5 just completely knocks it out of the park just right off the get-go with IO throughput. Without having to mess with it as much.
They essentially swapped on that to change. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then on PS5, the expandable storage will be an NVMe SSD slot that you can expand storage in. And the Xbox Series X will have expandable storage with 1 terabyte expansion cards, which matches the internal storage exactly. And these expansion cards look like, you know, the old school memory card.
They're essentially like a proprietary NVMe card, but yeah, just I mean a full terabyte on them, and they're fast as hell,
and go into that slot that we had thought way back when we first had saw it was a demo port, and it actually proved out to be that this is the expandable storage expansion card slot. So the external storage for PS5 will have USB HDD support, so that's great. And the Xbox Series X, you'll have for external storage USB 3.2 external HDD support as well. PS5 will have an optical drive, which is 4K UHD Blu-ray, and Xbox Series X will also have the same, which is funny because they're going to have to pay Sony to make all the you know, whatever.
It happens. If it didn't have that though, people would be furious. It's worth it.
Oh yeah. With the nerdiness stuff before, I'll just quickly break down and revamp on this. So in comparison, the most powerful console out right now, the Xbox One X, has a CPU with 8 cores at 2.3 gigahertz, which is a custom Jaguar CPU. The GPU that the Xbox One X has is 6 teraflops, 40 CUs at 1.172 gigahertz with a custom GCN GPU. The memory is inside the One X is 12 gigs. That's GDDR5. The memory bandwidth is only 326 gigabytes a second. The internal storage is only 1 terabyte HDD, not SSD. And the IO throughput is 120 megabytes a second. So very big jumps here I mean, look at this. Like the IO throughput, for example, 120 megabits a second on the Xbox One X, 2.4 gigabytes a second raw with 4.8 gigabytes with compressed.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It's a huge jump. And honestly, like the Xbox One, the initial Xbox One jumping to the Xbox One X, is still less of a jump than what the Xbox One X is to the Xbox Series X. I mean, these new consoles are just stupid powerful. And it's, I mean, they're essentially what a pretty high-end PC is right now. Like, pretty high-end. So, I mean, these are impressive beasts. But before we get too much into the conversation here, let's talk about some important things to note about these new consoles. So for the PlayStation 5, the PlayStation will use a feature called Boost that allows the PlayStation vary frequencies based on the workload needed, which this is all about keeping the console from essentially overheating in a way. So this is good in some ways and bad in other ways. It can throttle basically the power output that it can put out, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so this could hinder some things down the road, you know, once we get near the end of the generation and games are getting even crazier. But right at the launch, there's not going to be an issue here. And honestly, later on down the road, it's still going to be fine. They're mm-hmm. still going to do a lot of things that are fine with this console for sure. And I'm not too worried about this, but it is something to note. Also, it allows for use of standard external storage, which is advised that you actually use it for backwards compatible games, which the way they're doing backwards compatible is interesting at best. It's kind of weird and they're doing some weird things there, but it'll work and you'll be able to play at least PlayStation 4. They haven't made too many comments about, you know, later or further back, but they have said that they will be able to do it, and we're not 100% sure what that's going to look like yet. They've still kind of been a little dodgy on that. But this will free up the SSD storage for PlayStation 5 games, which is strongly advised. It will also have the NVMe slot as well, but PlayStation says that they need to validate third-party NVMe drives and strongly advise against using any that have not been validated. Also, one of the big selling points for PlayStation that they were really pushing is the 3D audio fidelity via the Tempest engine. And as far as the Xbox Series X goes, Series X games must run off of the internal storage or expandable storage drive that uses the proprietary 1 terabyte memory cards. Backwards compatible games can be played directly off of a regular HDD external storage drive. So that was a point of big contention for people. They're like, oh, you got to buy this external memory card and it's going to be super expensive. Well, the problem is PlayStation also advises that you do that as well. They advise that you use the HDD for your external hard drive for basically just backwards compatible games, because these new games are going to run significantly better if they're on internal storage or through a NVMe card. This new Xbox Series X allows you to seamlessly switch between multiple titles, not just one, resuming right where you left off, which is really cool. We don't know exactly how many games you're going to be able to do this with. I assume
maybe three or four.
Maybe three or four. Maybe. We're not sure, but this is still pretty cool. I mean, it is nice to be able to switch between a couple different games here and there. Yeah. Keeping the console cooler and quieter than a typical console of the past. It was a big part of how this was designed. They did some really cool things to keep this thing cool. And the way air flows through it is awesome.
I was going to say too, the fan was designed, especially that it doesn't make noise.
Yeah.
It is very, very quiet. Also the green top on it, or the green thing that we presume to be a light at first, is not mm-hmm. actually a light. It is
right.
It is a plastic that is just underneath of the black plastic as part of the holes. And just on the different angles that you look at it, it gives kind of what seems to be that green glow, which I was kind of hoping that they'd actually put a light in there, but whatever.
Yeah. And also one more thing to note about the Xbox Series X before we dive into this conversation. The new controller has gotten a slight redesign, nothing too crazy here, but we are getting a slightly smaller design to fit smaller hands while mm-hmm. not hindering people with large hands, a share button, a new D-pad and textured bumpers and triggers, which look really cool. I'm actually super excited about this. I'll still use my Elite, but this new controller design does look pretty nice. Yeah. So what are your thoughts, Jeff? Lead this off here.
Okay. So on PS5, I think PS5, once again, from a software perspective, I think Sony's really nailed it. I think Sony can pump a lot more out of their console later game down the road with their software capabilities versus the Xbox in the way that they've built them. But as it stands right now, the Xbox does appear to be a little bit stronger. It also appears to have more features to it in terms of backwards compatibility and other things. And I would also say that it seems like it's a little bit more well put together in terms of like their launch so far. I mean, PlayStation 5's presentation for me, and you tell me too after I'd seen a little piece here on PlayStation 5's presentation, but I think this is the last thing they need to do. The first thing they should have done was show the damn box and show the games on it, show the teaser hype trail video, and that's about it, and then get into specs later on. Using this spec video with that insanely calm individual, it sounds like he's gonna fucking kill somebody anytime, but I my god, brilliant man. Just a genius.
Yeah, it was Mark Cerny, correct?
Yeah, just a genius. But, you know, I appreciate everything that he does and I appreciate everything that he knows. But this was a little too deep. And I get that the GDC talk had been canceled. And that's primarily why this one kind of went the way it did. But, I mean, show the box, show the controller, get a little bit more into the games. There wasn't really much demo even. It was a lot of, you know, here's how it worked before and here's how it works now. And watch this line move faster than this line move. And watch, you know, here's a graph and here's a chart and here's this and here's that. And that's just not, it just didn't correlate. I was excited for the first 10 minutes maybe of it. And then afterwards I was like, wow. Yeah. Oh boy, this is getting dry. Like I feel like I am in college at a lecture. So a little interesting on that versus you can see Xbox is going through like teraflops and blah, 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 blah. And like really trying to make those key tag words that people go, oh, wow, this one has 12 teraflops. Wow, this is, you know, a terabyte SSD, all this stuff. They're definitely going the cool route with it. And we'll see how it does it for them. But how do you think about the PS5 presentation before we talk about Xbox's reveals?
It was dry as can be. I fully agree. I think they should have went the way of kind of how Xbox did it with showing off the console and showing off games and stuff first rather than doing this deep dive. Also, they spent like 20 minutes talking about solid state drives, which I feel like a lot of people already know and don't need to have this in-depth conversation about and why they're better.
I would agree.
I mean, I guess I could be wrong. This is kind of the realm we live in, so we are pretty familiar with it. But I feel like most people know what a solid state drive is versus a regular hard drive. I don't know. To me, they seemed less confident in this than what Xbox has been coming out with. They don't have that big dick energy leading into this, really, I don't think. I'm just saying. But I think overall, this console is more impressive than what I expected. Not because I thought Xbox was going to blow it out of the water, but I was kind of leaning towards the thought that, and we talked about this when we had Bryant on here. We talked about how the Xbox seemed like it was going to be pushing more towards a premium market. And we thought the PS5 was going to come in quite a bit weaker, but it was going to be more of a hitting a certain price point type of thing.
Yeah.
But the way this was set up, it does look like they are actually trying to compete and with a very powerful console. I mean, Xbox Series X is an impressive beast of a console for sure. And PlayStation is as well. And they've done some different things in there, like relying on some software stuff to back up their hardware stuff, which is very smart because later on down the road, like you said, that is going to be very important once these consoles start to show their age.
It's a long game is I think right. What they're playing.
And I think that was smart of them. But I don't know. I, the way this went was not a fantastic way to generate a bunch of hype, but granted, a lot of PlayStation fanboys got super excited when they revealed that it was going to be the PlayStation 5 and showed the logo off. So I don't know. I mean, I could be a bad read on that, but
I asked some buddies that are PS5 guys, and they had watched it, and I said to them, hey, are you going to go to, you know, Xbox after seeing this stuff or just, you know, the specs on it? And they're like, oh, no, I'm sticking with my PlayStation. I'm not going to own an Xbox. Like, the, yeah. You know, fanboyism. So, then there's a lot of that, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
They're going to really retain a lot of people, just the Sony fandom. And we also have to remember, you know, as much as we joke about like achievement whoring and like all that kind of stuff, I mean, all of your shit is on a Sony account.
Yep. And all the games you bought in the past with backwards compatible, I mean, it's more important than ever to kind of remain loyal to the brand that you chose. I mean, brand loyalty has been a big thing in gaming for, I mean, damn near since the beginning. I mean, you were a Sega boy or you were a Nintendo boy growing up type of thing, you know? And so that is very much something people get into. And so I Xbox has their work cut out for them this generation, but I mean, the way they've been showing this console off, I'm impressed. And granted, I also play on Xbox most of the time, but I mean, I've heard of some people that have a PlayStation just for the exclusive. Well, I'm one of these people. A PlayStation for the exclusives and then play all third party stuff on Xbox. I mean, that's how I am. I personally prefer my Xbox, but I can't deny that PlayStation has some fantastic games, and this console, this PlayStation 5, is pretty damn impressive. I mean, from the specs, I am excited to see what the damn thing looks like and what games they're going to have at launch and what games are in the pipeline for, you know, the first year and a half even. I mean, both companies obviously have a lot of work still cut out for them, but I think I feel like they could have done this presentation a little better to generate a little more hype, because it was dull and it just didn't seem like they really got it. People just droned off. I mean, there wasn't enough there to keep people interested. I mean,
I think what was going to happen was you probably would have gotten like a general public like tease video originally, and then they would have done this talk at GDC.
Right. Exactly.
And instead, they did this makeup thing for GDC, and they're going to hold off and wait. And honestly, here's the thing, right? Like, if I'm a company, I'm honestly probably holding off to announce something, just granted everything that's going on. And that's not from a standpoint of like, can I ship it? It's just like every freaking 5 minutes, there's something new trending on Twitter right now. Like, it is insane, the news cycle right now. So it's, I mean, you want to get your money's worth, but I'm interested to see. I mean, we can poo-poo specs and all that kind of stuff, oh my God, how can I forget the guy? The guy that's like next to us on Spotify, Jeremy, has podcast.
Jared Petty.
Jared Petty. Good Lord, how could I even forget that? So Jared Petty had a great tweet, and it was basically, specs, that's great. I'm looking forward to Horizon Zero Dawn 2, Spider-Man 2, God of War 2. Like, starts listing off all these games. It's like,
deny that. I mean,
there's a great point right there. Now, the problem I have with that point, the little tiny problem I have with that point, is that there are similar games in their style. We've discussed this before, but also, if you love that game, which that's kind of one of the more like higher up genres for like GP, the general public, you're into it, dude. You've got them. But I'm cool with the specs. I think they'll come out ahead at the end of this generation. Keep in mind also that software, if they come out with, let's call it a PS5 Pro line, because we don't know if they have that.
Right.
Right. The Xbox Series X, from what we know, is supposed to be the top tier.
I guess we don't even really know that. I mean, all we know is that it's the Xbox Series X, and judging based off the naming conventions, you have the Xbox One X. It would seem like this is the more powerful one, and they might release a slightly dumbed down version for cheaper, you know.
They've also price-wise. they've also been showing the Series X off like crazy with like different YouTubers and stuff, like all the marketing dollars behind Series X.
Yeah.
So we don't know if this is the base PS5 or is this the only console and they're going to go the route of the PS5 Pro. If they put out a Pro,
that'll probably be
whatever it is, it will beat the Xbox Series X. And if they utilize the software abilities that they've done, it will kick its ass.
I would assume that the Pro will come later. Given yes. how PlayStation generally does this, it is usually like a mid-generation type jump up. Like, which
here's the original, again, here's the Slim, here's the Pro. There you
but
go.
Also, I mean, you figure like the Xbox One X came out later in the generation, and it's the most powerful console out right now. You know, it pretty much demolishes the PS4 Pro. But I don't know. What were your takes on Xbox's release here?
Xbox really dived into a lot of the product design and were really transparent this time around. The Xbox One, the Xbox 360, all of that. It wasn't until the Xbox One S that they really got transparent with the hardware, showed you how it was built, what's inside of it, what's the outside components, all of that stuff. I am pretty excited that Microsoft is taking this route and being completely open with this stuff. When I saw the console, I was a little bit surprised at how big it was, like in terms of
pretty large.
In terms of like its shape, it's kind of awkward.
I love that they acknowledged that it looks like a fridge too from all the memes, and they literally put out a official image that it says fridge for scale, and they have a fridge sitting next to the damn thing. It's fantastic. It. Bravo.
I'm excited about the quality of build of it. It seems like it's simplistic, but a lot of thought has went into it, and just the way that its airflow works very similar to that of the a Mac Pro, not the generation we have now, but the previous generation, the trash can generation, and how it directs airflow through the system. I don't know. It's like a different company.
Yeah,
honestly, it's like a whole different company. It's like, thank God they got rid of secrecy. Show me what's in the fucking box. The controller. Don't really care. The controller hasn't changed much for me. I mean, there's the D-pad. I'm assuming the D-pad is the same D-pad underneath of that, just different gritty, thumb pattern for the D-pad now. So whatever.
They all pretty much have the same pattern going on underneath there.
And they're crazy. They're squishy. They're never like tactile. So whatever, which is what I kind of look for. The triggers, that's great that they're going to have grip. I think that's something that they should have done already, honestly, on the Xbox One controllers. But, we're past that we're going to be closing out that console soon. The bumpers, I don't really care for the texture bumpers. Like, I think that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. The triggers I get, and the share button I will not use. So the share button is dumb.
A lot of people, though. I mean, a lot of people love it on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, I could be, maybe. I don't think
you're the demographic they're trying to hit there.
But here's the thing. I would use it. I think I'm speaking ill of it because it's a dumb thing it's dumb to share stuff on Xbox right now. It's horrible. It's horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
Even without a dedicated button per se right there, the steps that you have to take to go, do stuff with it, it's still annoying.
You know who does it better? Nintendo actually does it better than Xbox does, which is shocking because Nintendo doesn't do very much of anything great online. So they need to iron that out. The way you have to save it to the cloud before you can even do anything. It's dumb. For me, I think the Xbox Series X is it's doing a lot of really cool things, and the way they're optimizing some of this power is more impressive too. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that you don't entirely see just from from these specs here. And also, I mean, the jump from 10 to 10.28 to 12 teraflops is actually pretty significant. I mean, that when, especially when you figure that the Xbox One X only has six, so you figure two is, I mean, pretty decent, but
a whole nother one S.
Also, I mean, T-flops are not like the end all. I mean, that is certainly not the only thing that gives these consoles power, but it is kind of that buzzword right now that people get stuck on, you know. But for me, obviously, I'm certainly getting the Xbox day one. I'm just going to be transparent as hell on that. I am an Xbox guy. That's what I play on. For the most part, I will get the PS5 at some point. I don't know if it'll be right at launch, but probably pretty damn close, if not right at launch. But yeah, the Xbox is, for me, there's a lot of really cool things going on here. I think the way they've really laid it all out, like you were saying, it's like a completely different company. For the company that announced the Xbox One is pretty much nowhere in sight at this point. I mean, Xbox Series X, they went into it, they told us damn near everything about this thing and how it works, why they did certain things, what it's going to do. I mean, they've done a lot of really cool things. I've heard a few people talk about, like, potentially being able to upgrade this as you go as well, like put a new GPU in it and stuff like that, which I think is fantastic.
That I think would be they'd really utilize cool. external GPUs, but yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, they talked about, I mean, this was a conversation when the Xbox One was being talked about initially too. So we'll see as we get further in here. But if they are able to do that later on down the road, that would take away that advantage that the PlayStation has, you know, where they solely kind of rely on that that software side to get them through. But again, we'll see. We don't know. I mean, PlayStation could do the same damn thing. We have no clue. So there's still plenty of questions surrounding this as it stands now, but at least we have specs and we have an idea of what we're looking at. We have, you know, the idea that there was going to be a big price difference between these two, which we had kind of talked about, a pretty significant, you know, that would sway somebody in one way or another. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think these are going to be pretty close. But I'm interested. I've also, we've talked a couple different times about how this is the Xbox Series X, but considering it's called Xbox Series, you assume there's going to be another one. So I assume before launch, we're still going to see another.
Like
another SKU, right? Yeah. Something else going on.
Probably just to get people down, like maybe like 100, 150, 200 bucks, you know, just to get them into that tier. What I'm stunned by is they started working on this in 2016.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. Four years of developing and designing this console. I mean, it is impressive. One thing that gets me is how people were completely shitting all over the Xbox proprietary expansion card. I mean, I get it. Yeah. Oh, why are we going back to memory cards?
I don't.
But at the same I don't get it because
I don't.
You clearly don't understand what's going on there. Like that is just as fast as an SSD. Like this thing is impressive. That's the problem I do see is, it's going to be expensive, but at the same time, the PlayStation is going to use borderline the same tech, an NVMe SSD slot in the back of this damn thing.
Yeah.
And that's expensive too. There's not a huge difference here that these people are making it out to be. Like these are pretty similar things. I imagine the expansion card that is used in the Xbox is going to be damn near the same price as the NVMe that you have to buy to put into your PlayStation. That would be my guess. I mean, I could be wrong.
You're looking at about, I don't know, like any, it depends on what one they want to use. But for example, here I'm looking at around 150.
Yeah. For a 1 terabyte.
Correct.
And I think it's about $250 for a 2 terabyte, roughly.
Yes.
So, yeah,
it's expensive. It's expensive. And you
at
know,
the same
time,
memory just keeps getting cheaper and cheaper as well. I mean, we've seen hard drives drop in price significantly. We've seen micro SD cards that you use for like your Switch and stuff. Those have dropped significantly. Memory keeps getting cheaper and cheaper as tech keeps getting better and better. That's just kind of the way it goes. So we'll definitely see with that, but it just kind of got me that was the big hang up and everybody's like, oh, you can only use your external hard drive backwards compatible games, which is the same thing PlayStation is recommending as well. So, I mean, they're the same. It's just, they didn't word it in the outright, you know, come out.
Well,
and
one's using a different. It looks different than the other, right? And that's what it is. But so non-proprietary SSD cards of the capacity that the Xbox is going to be using can range anywhere from $129.99 to $214.99. So it will most likely fall somewhere within that range. I'm sure third party is going to be allowed to make these as well. Mm-hmm. Their business. They want to make the expansion pack. I get it. If they own the expansion pack, they understand the format into it, they can continue to make them. When people sit there and be like, oh, I can only do 1 terabyte at a time, it's eventually going to get to 2 to 3 to 4 as memory gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
You also figure the first year this console is out, there's not going to be a huge amount of games for it. Generally, the first year for a launch console is a lot of backwards compatible games or games that are releasing on both consoles and a handful of new games that people actually usually pick up, right?
Yeah.
So I would imagine in the first year, you probably aren't going to need this thing.
Well, also and the sizes are going to change and it's going to get cheaper and cheaper to your notation. I mean, like, so when you bought a PlayStation originally and a PlayStation 2 PS2 like memory card, you get like an 8 megabyte Magic Gate memory card, okay? And then by the end of it, we were up to like 128 megabytes.
Right.
Okay, like it's gonna be okay. Like everyone needs to stop shitting their pants about stuff, and I think that people need to like calm the hell down when it comes to expansion base.
I know the way I kind of said a lot of that, it does make me sound like I'm a huge Xbox fanboy, but it just gets it annoys me that people are shitting on the Xbox for a reason that is unreasonable. Like it doesn't make any sense, and that's what's annoying to me is the fact that there's if you're going to talk about something, talk about something that's actually comparable rather than, you know, something.
Yeah, if you
want to
say, oh my God, they didn't change the controller. They added a button and made it smaller.
Right. That is a reasonable thing.
Reasonable thing. In my eyes, honestly, I think it was a letdown that the controller wasn't different.
For me, not so much. I love my Xbox One controller, so I did not want any change.
Unless I pick this thing up and I noticeably feel even just... if I feel a little better quality of the plastics, a little better quality on the sticks, stuff like that, I'm cool with it. Not elite level, obviously, because they want that skew, but I need it to feel a little bit better. I don't want it to feel clunky. I don't want to go like this and the fucking button, the A button swiggles back and forth like that. That's just garbage.
Another thing people got hung up on is the Xbox will still use rechargeable batteries. They will use double A's in the controller.
I am not happy about that.
See, I am. I'm the opposite. I have a PlayStation. I have a PlayStation controller that the internal battery has gone out, and I have not had that damn thing very long. So now that whole controller is junk unless I tear it apart and put a new battery in it. And personally, the battery life on a PlayStation 4 controller is like maybe 6 hours. I run rechargeable batteries through the Xbox Series or my Xbox, and I get like 20 hours out of the damn things, and then I just charge them. So for me, I personally like rechargeable double A's because I get so much better life out of them. At the end of the battery's life, my controller isn't shit. But that's me, and I get the argument the other way. It's a some
they just
people
need to
like
put
that,
better batteries but, in them as rechargeable ones because they use such cheap fucking rechargeable batteries
and even
charge a little bit more for the controller.
And even like the power packs that you can buy for these controllers, they're junk.
Super light. There's hardly any power into them. And what you have to end up doing is it's a perpetual cycle of, oh God,
I used to have to charge that thing every night.
Yeah, you just keep them on the charger. And then what happens to that? Your battery dies.
Destroys it, right.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd bring that up because that was another thing I didn't put in the things to note. But yeah, we haven't seen the PlayStation controller. We don't know what all it's going to be. I assume it'll be internal batteries because that's kind of the way they roll.
They're saying it might have a heart monitor on it.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think that they will try to go the Nintendo route more, PlayStation, with their controller, and that they'll keep it standard, but they'll add different things to it, like the heart rate and stuff like that. They'll change things up a little bit more.
That's kind of what they've done, you know.
They've always tried to
like add the trackpad and stuff like that.
Light bar.
I am overall excited for this next generation. I am excited about both these consoles. I'm excited to see what they both do. Obviously, PlayStation's big thing is they have the games, and you can't argue that. The last Halo game, which is used to be the console seller, was shit. So Xbox is going to have to come hard with the games that they're going to be releasing on this to try to gain any traction here. And that's really, I mean, people, even PlayStation fans, are noting that the Xbox is fucking impressive. But I mean, the PlayStation is impressive too. They're both fantastic looking consoles as far as specs wise and what these consoles are going to be able to do and how much it's going to be a step up from the consoles that we have currently. It's just unreal. So at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know if I'm going with Xbox solely because I am I've always played on Xbox. But I don't think there's anything like if you were just coming into console gaming for the first time at this point without seeing games or anything like that, or if you don't have a backlog of games on one of these consoles already, I don't see one point to get one of these over the other too much. Nothing too crazy, unless the price points are way the fuck off.
Mm-hmm. But I would agree on that. I mean, I think that we're going to be at this parity where like it's not really going to matter what we have.
And at this point, I mean, there's crossplay that is becoming a huge thing. Like that wall between these consoles is really starting to get broke down in some big ways. And I think that's probably one of the most exciting things about going forward with this.
You aren't
going to be divided depending on what console you play on. You can still play with your buddies. And I think that's an important thing that needed to happen. And it finally is happening. And so, at the end of the day, I mean, it's kind of hard to get away from you know, your library of games that you own. And so I fully understand why somebody would not want to switch from one to the other or vice versa. You know, it's just, it is what it is. And I think Xbox has done a really good job of basically rebranding themselves for this generation. But PlayStation also is doing a great job at what PlayStation does, and so I mean that's why these two console giants are still around. They both do a fantastic job.
We will have to see who takes to what. Fanboyism will always be a thing, and it will always
is.
So we'll have to see. But guys, we're gonna wrap it up there. If you want to support our Patreon, head over to patreon.com/diggitypodcast. Get access to a private Discord channel. Get your free stickity diggity, and also get free exclusive content and other stuff down the road. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Diggity Podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Search for Diggity or Diggity Gaming. You can find me on Xbox One. My gamer tag is Maple Jeff.
And mine is Luscious Brody. And on PlayStation, you can find me at Wolverine's Cousin.
Cool. Leave us a review, guys. It helps us get noticed. It has helped us get noticed as well in the past. So thank you to those who have left a review. Leaving a review is what allows us to grow on multiple platforms and let us know what you really like about the show. So until next time, guys, we'll be fanboying away, I guess, because after this episode, people are probably gonna be like, "Oh my gosh, they're such Xbox
I know
fanboy.
I'm gonna catch shit for that, but I just had to, I have to point out things that I think are stupid, and it is
good. Way to end it. Yep. All right, guys. Well, that's enough. We're gonna take off now. We'll see.
I said what I said.
Yeah, we'll see you guys for next week's show.